Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at the summary of all that we know based upon this great epistle of 1 John. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 again together. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, we're right in the middle of studying how that in these three verses, the Apostle John is giving us a summary of all that he has taught in this great epistle. And he begins each of these three verses with the phrase, "We know." In these three verses, John wants us to know three things. Number one, that the person who has genuinely been born of God does not dwell continually in sin. Number two, that those who are saved are truly born of God. And number three, that the Son of God has come and has given us knowledge of the one true living God. And on the last broadcast, we were looking at the second truth that John says that we should know. And today I want us to look at the third thing that John says that we ought to know. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, again together. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now this is the third area of biblical truth that the Apostle John says that we should know, a correct understanding of who Jesus is. John wants to be sure that we understand that there is no such thing as being right with God and having an unbiblical view of Jesus. Make no mistake about this, dear friends. What we believe about Jesus determines where we're going to spend eternity. That's very popular today to hear all kinds of accolades about Jesus. Some people admire the Jesus who went about doing good. Others admire the Sermon on the Mount, while others look fondly at the Golden Rule. Jesus has been called a great moral leader, a prophet, a teacher, a social activist, and some even look at Jesus as being the original hippie. Nearly every human on earth loves to quote one thing that Jesus said from Matthew 7, verse 1, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Not because they're interested in walking in biblical purity, but simply because they don't want anybody telling them that their evil deeds are sinful, not even God. Now, some people love Jesus for no other reason than they look at Jesus as sticking his finger in the eye of the established order of that day, and that rebellion fits in with their own rebellious ways perfectly. Many people see the babe in the manger as being so cute and sweet at least once a year, while others give Jesus the credit for helping them score more touchdowns or hitting more home runs or for helping them win awards for songs that talk about abusing women and killing police officers. Muslims speak in reverent tones about Jesus, and they use the phrase, "Blessed be His name," or "May He forever be praised," every time they mention Jesus' name. And there are many books written by Buddhists, Hindus, Hare Krishnas, which show great favor and admiration for Jesus. Even many Jews say that Jesus was indeed a good man. Mormons say they greatly admire Him. Jehovah's Witnesses say that He was Michael the Archangel in the Old Testament, while Scientologists and followers of Kabbalah and Christian Science practitioners all say that Jesus was a wonderful example. But if what these people say is all that Jesus is, then the Bible is a lie, and we're still lost. because Jesus made the claim over and over and over again that he was God Almighty wrapped in human flesh. And this is where every single one of those false religions and man-made philosophies all part ways with biblical Christianity. You see, dear friends, the one single area where Christianity differs from every other religious concept in the history of the world is in just who Jesus is. And this controversy over the person of Jesus Christ is just as strong today as it was 2,000 years ago. The true Christian church has consistently confessed for 2,000 uninterrupted years that Jesus Christ was God Almighty in a body, that he was Yahweh draped in full humanity. And while there has been several very powerful attacks against that confession over the last two millennia, there's not been any wavering about this at all. Jesus Christ is God. And then to muddy the waters even further, at the same time that Jesus was fully God, he was also fully man. And so Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time in the same body, without conflict or contradiction. In short, Jesus was, is, and ever shall be a miracle, a wonder. And it is partly because of this glorious mystery about who Jesus is as to why we worship him. You see, everything about Jesus is a miracle, from his virgin birth to his sinless life to his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension, and his present ministry in heaven and his coming again. Everything about Jesus is and always be a genuine, bona fide, supernatural miracle. There was more angelic activity, more dreams, more supernatural activity surrounding the birth of Jesus than there was in all history before or since combined. And the only thing that can possibly even come close to being a greater event than the birth of Jesus is when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule the world with a rod of iron. And when God the Father imputed all of the sins of the whole world onto God the Son, and Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, the eternal salvation of all who have ever believed and all who will ever believe was guaranteed forever. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus. No man, no person, no organization, no religious system can forgive sin or make us fit for heaven. Only Jesus himself can do that. And so we must understand, dear friends, that the church itself does not save us. Baptism does not save us. Communion does not save us. Speaking in tongues does not save us. Obeying the law does not save us. Keeping the Sabbath does not save us. Giving money to charity does not save us. Striving to be moral does not save us. We are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone, without any human effort or action or cooperation in any way, shape, or form. All of our obedience, all of our striving to be godly, all of our resistance of sin, and all of our overcoming the world are merely human responses that flow out of a person who has already been saved by grace through faith alone. And what that means is that if you follow the teachings of Muhammad faithfully, living by every tenet of the Quran, and do not trust in Christ for salvation, you will die in your sins. If you follow the teachings of Buddha or Krishna or Sun Myung Moon or Joseph Smith or Ellen G. White or Mary Baker Eddy, and you live by every tenet of the Bhagavad Gita or the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price or the Doctrines and Covenants or the Keys to the Scriptures or the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society or the ancient teachings of Kabbalah, and you do not trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and receive salvation by grace through faith alone, you will die in your sins. If you follow the teachings of every single pope since Linus, and you live by every papal bull, writ, and edict, every decree of every single ex-cathedra statement, and you do not trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you will die in your sins. If you follow the teachings of Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, T.D. Jakes, Juanita Bynum, Blair Bradley, Billy Graham, or the Puritans, or Augustine, or Jonathan Edwards, or John MacArthur, or Charles Spurgeon, or John Piper, John Calvin, or Martin Luther, and you do not trust in the finished work of Jesus alone for salvation, You will die in your sins. If you trust all that Moses said and you try to obey every single law that is recorded in the Old Testament and you do not trust in the finished work of Jesus alone for salvation, you will die in your sins. You can prophesy till the cow comes home. You can utter words of wisdom and knowledge, lay hands on the sick, bind the devil, cast out demons, fall on the ground, pop your neck, scream and shout and dance all over the church, or you can sit back and self-righteously judge those who do those things. But if you do not put your full trust in the finished work of Jesus alone for salvation, you will die in your sins. Salvation cannot be bought, bargained for, bartered, or negotiated. Salvation cannot be earned, deserved, or entitled. Salvation is not payment for something that you have or have not done. It is not a reward for something you are entitled to. Salvation is not something that God owes you. God has concluded that every single human that is born of woman is personally guilty of the sin of Adam, and we are born in sin, and we are conceived in iniquity, and there are none who are righteous in themselves, none who seek after God by and through their own free will choice, apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There is absolutely no way for any human to develop their own human righteousness to the point where they are allowed to go to heaven based on some act or religious duty that they carried out. Salvation is not something that is brought about through our participation in religious ceremonies or rituals. The Bible says that salvation is entirely by grace, and it is entirely through the gift of saving faith, apart from any and all human works. And look, God set it up this way so that He alone receives all the glory when He forgives and saves unworthy sinners. Dear friend, mankind is utterly fallen, utterly corrupt, utterly wicked, utterly depraved, utterly unable, and utterly unwilling to believe, trust, serve, love, and obey the command of God to repent and trust and be saved. So we are utterly dependent on God to give us both the will and the power to obey the command to believe. We are utterly dependent on God to give us the grace that we do not deserve. We are utterly dependent on God to give us the faith that we do not have. We are utterly dependent on God to give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and to take out of us a stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. And all of this God must do for us sovereignly, by Himself, precisely because in our lost condition, we are unable to even cooperate with Him. And God is to do all of this first, before we can believe or trust or accept or repent or be saved, because in our normal fallen condition, we are spiritually dead. We are without any spiritual life at all. And before a dead man can do anything, he must first be quickened. He must be given life. And this is what it means to be born again. It is God sovereignly giving spiritual life to dead people so that they can hear, so they can believe, so they can repent, so they can be saved. So I said all of that to say this. Without a clear, unshakable, unchanging, and accurate understanding of who Jesus is, none of this is possible, because it is impossible to trust in someone that you don't know. So who Jesus is must be clearly articulated, clearly taught, clearly believed, clearly confessed, so that the Jesus of Scripture is the Jesus in whom we trust, and not some other Jesus who has been invented by man. And that is why Paul, Peter, John, and all the fathers of the church have carefully taught a full and biblically accurate portrait of Jesus so that men may be saved. Well, I'm going to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.